Due to a technical issue, the very beginning of the recording of Father Michael's homily at Father Vic's funeral was not usable. His opening remarks had to do with the fact that Father Vic's passing was indeed a very sad event, but could also be seen as cause for great joy. Father Michael then began recounting how 5 years ago, when he was living in Benicia, Father Vic called him into his office and said that he had made a decision. "I want you to preach my funeral mass," to which Father Michael replied,
"And I said, you might want to reconsider that choice. You know, you've been a Dominican for nearly 70 years. I've lived with you for about 3 years. I might not be the best choice to know all the old stories and all the things." And his response to me was, "It's okay, you can do it." And I said, "Well, no, well, really, what would I talk about? What would I could I possibly say?" And he says, "Oh, you'll figure it out. That's, in fact, I'm not going to be there. That's your job." But he continued. He says, whatever you say, keep it short. I was reminded of this when we celebrated the funeral for Father Paul Scanlon recently, and I was able to talk with him, and right away he reminded me. He said, "You're preaching my funeral." I said, yeah, I know. I'll figure it out. I'll keep it short. And he surprised me. He said, "You don't have to keep it short." I said, "Oh." He said, "There's lots of things you could possibly say about my life." I said, and in that instant, I knew I had him. It was a privileged moment. I said, "Okay, Father Vic, let's sit down. I want to ask you three questions, and in answering them, you're not just talking to me, but know that you're talking to everyone who will come on that day." I said, "Imagine it. I'll put it together, but it'll be your final preaching, your final word as an order of preachers to all of us." And so here it is. That first question I asked him, I said, "What inspired you? What inspired you to become a Dominican priest?" And he spoke about his early childhood and the difficulty it was to come to this country from Switzerland, how his mother passed away at an early age, those difficult days. His father sent him to a boarding school run by the Dominican sisters, and how those Dominican sisters helped to form him, to give him guidance and direction in life. He also spoke of a Dominican, of Father William Norton, whose nickname was Concrete Norton, because everywhere he went, a parking lot soon followed. And he spoke about having this relationship with both the sisters and being formed in this way, the relationship with Father Norton. He said, "I saw the good that they did, and after graduating from St. Mary's," he said, "that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to do good. And so I thought that might be a way to go." He did parenthetically remark that it was either that or the FBI. Out of the FBI. He had family in law enforcement, and he was very proud. He was very proud that the village he came from in Switzerland was famous as the seedbed for the Vatican Swiss Guard. So he always had that in his blood in that way. But he said with a twinkle in his eye, he said, "I knew that becoming a priest would be more helpful in keeping me on the straight and narrow." Right? And so he said, I saw that I had a chance to do good and a good chance to get to heaven, right? Very practical, as he went, in a very straightforward way. And yet, whatever motivations Father Vic had, whatever motivations any of us have for choosing the vocation, making the choices we make, we know that ultimately it is the Lord who inspires us. Before we choose Christ, Christ has already chosen us. And he chose Father Vic, like the apostles of old, who were not perhaps well-versed in the law or particularly educated. The Lord equipped them with that gifts of leadership, of ministry, of preaching beyond expectation. And I think for many of us at one time or another, we have that role of leadership. We're called to have responsibility. And yet for Father Vic, it wasn't just that he had roles of leadership. It's that he had the charism, the gift of the Holy Spirit, which was leadership. The Lord working in and through him. Think of all that he did, even in our province, shaping our province, being pastor and or prior at many of our priory parishes, from Seattle to Los Angeles, San Francisco, Berkeley, and of course, here in Benicia for 70 years. I was talking to a Dominican pastor yesterday, and he said in his heyday, if Father Vic decided that it would be good for the province to go into basket weaving, guess what? We'd be weaving baskets right now. He had that sense of leadership. In the gospel, Jesus identifies himself as the good shepherd. The good shepherd. And hearkening back to the psalm that we heard, we know that the Lord says that he will shepherd his flock through the dark valley with rod and staff, which gives courage. The rod that what? That corrects and perhaps protects the flock from those who would assail it, from predators. And on the other hand, the staff which guides and leads the sheep to places of good pasture. And in Christ's own ministry, we know well how Christ exercised both those offices of both guiding and guarding. Certainly in guiding, as a good shepherd, he announces the kingdom of God. He brings the presence of the Father alive. He searches out those who are lost, the strays, those on the margins, the tax collectors and sinners. He binds up and heals wounds. And yet at the same time, we know that for those who are self-righteous in the gospel, the Lord has the woes, right? There are the woes to those who are indifferent or perhaps would use their station or their title at the disadvantage to put others at disadvantage. For Father Vic, he, in a sense, responded to that twofold office of both guarding and guiding. In a way, in terms of guarding, Father Vic, in terms of his spirituality, was decidedly old school, right? As he said, he had a keen insight and experience of original sin, right? Both in himself and perhaps in others. And so he had that sense in an age, our contemporary age, which often mistakes sentimentality for spirituality. He knew the value of sacrifice and discipline, a kind of no-nonsense, tough love. It extended to his life today, Friday in Lent, right? But every Friday for him was an occasion for clam chowder or tomato soup instead of his favorite, right? Chicken noodle, right? Not on Fridays, though. Not on Fridays. Certainly, when I was in residence here, I heard him preach at Christmas Day, welcoming people, but also reminding them in a straightforward, unvarnished way that no one escapes death, and that if they hoped to recognize God, or more to the point, God recognized them when they stood at those pearly gates, they might want to darken the door of the church more than once or twice a year. He did not shy away from correction, from tough love, in that way, a role of a good shepherd. Likewise, though, that sense of guiding, that sense of searching out those who were lost, of bringing the compassion, the preaching of our Father alive. I think of all the thousands, the hundreds of thousands of people who were guided by Father Vic to have an encounter with Christ. And the sacraments are those amongst us, who were brought into the church, who were baptized by Father Vic. Through Father Vic, Christ fed and nourished us in the sacraments, the Eucharist. He forgave us in the confessional of all of our sins. He anointed us with the healing of the Lord. When Father Vic went out on one of his famous house calls for those who couldn't come to church, it wasn't simply he that made that visit. It was Christ who visited us. In the moments when he saw perhaps someone praying silently and in distress, it was Christ himself, through Father Vic, put a gentle arm on his shoulder, speaking a word of consolation. In his office, for those who came with perhaps despair, darkness in his heart, and the very words of Christ, encouraging them through the words of Father Vic. Father Vic, indeed, answering that call to be like Christ, a good shepherd, to guard and to guide. And more than that, though, in the gospel, Jesus says that what distinguishes himself as a good shepherd is not simply guiding and guarding, but being willing to lay down his life for his sheep. And certainly, for Father Vic, there was no sense in which his priesthood was separated from who he was, right? It wasn't just a ministry or a job on the side. He said to me, he said, you know what? You never retire from being a priest. If you're lucky, you get to retire from the paperwork, from the administration. You never retire that identity, a priest through and through. And what that does, that kind of life-giving example, inspires others. He said, as pastor, some of my greatest successes was that moment when I was able to put people in positions where they could succeed, where the Lord could work through them. Currently, I'm living in San Francisco, and I see, although Father Vic was pastor there almost 40 years ago, the effects of his ministry are still there. We have a community center. When he arrived there, he saw the need to reach out to the poor and the homeless, and he hired a Dominican sister, Sister Ann Bertain, said, his best hire I ever did. And in that sense, they brought alive, to this day, very vibrant community center under the patronage of St. Rose of Lima. In fact, last Sunday on the weekend when I announced this funeral to our parishioners in San Francisco, I had a parishioner who actually came up to me and said, you know what? I met Father Vic almost 40 years ago. I wasn't a parishioner. I just happened to be in the area. I dropped by for the children's liturgy. And after Mass, I went up to Father Vic and I said, you know what? This is my first time in this church and it's going to be my last time. That children's choir was terrible. I have to think of my own response in that moment. But he didn't simply dismiss her or defend. But he said, how can you help? You've got in music and education, come help us. And that woman indeed helped to form a choir there. And she's a parishioner. At the heart of the parish, she's 40 years later. That's what leadership looks like. That's what giving your life and inspiring others follow Christ looks like. Even amongst ourselves as brothers, Father Felix Cassidy, who recently died of happy memory, delighted in sharing the story of how Father Vic saved his vocation. He said when he first entered into the order, he wasn't sure about his ability to master the Latin or to do the philosophy. He thought, you know what, this might not be for me. And so he went to someone who was graduating, who was going to be ordained, Father Vic, just for an encouragement to see what he had to say. Father Vic, in his very straightforward way, said, hey, look, I came to this country, I couldn't speak any English. I failed out of elementary school. I never really cared for school, but I kept at it, and if I can do it, you can do it. And Father Felix, just to his day, just said that, encouraged him in that moment, and since the rest is history. Father Vic, indeed, being guarding the flock, guiding the flock, being willing to lay down his life, to invest himself as a shepherd in the Lord's service. Question number two. I said, Father Vic, what was your greatest joy? What is your greatest joy in being a Dominican priest? And without hesitation, without reflection, he simply said, the children, right? The children. How he loved to form young minds and hearts in terms of education, but also in terms of learning the faith. Father Reginald spoke so eloquently last night of his own experience, Father Vic, as a principal, as a director of discipline, and of his time at St. John Vianney. And no doubt he was proud. He was proud of those who was able to form, to go on to be, indeed, in every way, faithful and productive folks. My experience with him was when he didn't have, perhaps, that exercise of discipline and leadership, and so he was kind of in the grandfatherly, affectionate days here in Benicia. Perhaps the worst-kept secret was the stash of candy he kept in his office, and so when the children would come over to do paperwork or any kind of office sort of task, there he would be with a little candy or some other sort of sweet, and I teased him. I said, where's this famous tough love? Come on now, this is a little indulgent, all these sweets. Kind of teasing him, chiding him a little bit. And he actually told me something that struck me. He said, you know what? He said, when I was inspired by Father Norton, that priest I mentioned earlier, he said every time I'd meet him, he'd give me some kind of little token or trinket or money or sweet in that way. And I looked up to Father Norton like he was God. He said, when you're a priest, children will look to you like they're God. Huh? And when you give them anything, any little thing, it's if as God himself is what? Is giving them something good. They will learn about God's love in the way you treat them. Huh? Beautiful. Simple. Kind of pedagogy of love. I treasure those moments we were able to walk, our daily walks down to the water. It was before hearing confessions for the first time for our children, 8 years old, second grade. I said, Father Vick, you know how anxious, how fearful, you know, a second grader can be coming to confession for the very first time. Give me some tips, right? What do you do? What do you do to kind of put them at ease? And he said, you have to do everything you can to communicate God's mercy, God's love. He said, a penance I like to give is to tell the children that they have to go and give their mother or their father a great big hug for their penance and tell them how much they love them, huh? And I'm sure the parents love this penance, to be sure. It did explain to me why every once in a while Father John Marie would come and give me a big hug. had to. And he said, when a child can put that natural connection of love they already know well and connect it to God's love, connect it to God's, have that experience, anything is possible. When a young person experiences God's love, anything is possible, and that's what the source of his greatest joy, huh? Greatest joy and satisfaction. That final question I asked Father Vic, what is your favorite scripture passage, your favorite Bible verse? And he said, well, I don't remember the verse directly. Like, it's good Catholics, right? When it comes to the Bible, we know the neighborhoods really well, right? The Old Testament, the law, the prophets, the gospel, the letters, we got it down. But when it comes to the direct addresses, hit or miss. Well, we looked it up. I looked it up, and it turns out to be Psalm 19:21. Many are the plans of man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose which endures. Many are the plans in man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose, his decision, which endures. And he shared with me how, in exercising leadership, there were very, very difficult times. Times when the decision to be made was either unclear or was going to be very, very difficult. There were dark moments when he himself did not know where he would get the strength or felt totally overwhelmed by the situation. He shared with me how there were times when he felt unworthy to be a priest. And he said, my great consolation, my abiding consolation, was that at the end of the day, it was the Lord who was in charge of the outcome. It was the Lord who was to bear fruit. All I had to do was be faithful to that, to make a decision and let the Lord do the rest. And in this vein, connecting to his great devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, how early in the morning, late at night, he'd often see him clutching that rosary in his hand and praying to Our Lady, right back by the children's room every morning, saying his rosary. Sometimes I'd check in on him at night, and he'd be standing in front of the statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary in his room, having a kind of inner dialogue. And he shared with me that he says, when I come face to face with the Lord, I hope that Mary is right by his side, and that she holds out that rosary and I'm able to grasp onto it, and she's the one who's going to pull me into heaven. That's Our Lady. This morning we grieve for the loss of a very special, special shepherd. We give thanks to the Lord for the ways he responded to be a shepherd in the service of the Good Shepherd. And we ask the Lord, through the intercession of his Blessed Mother, that he might lead and guide our brother to that richly deserved place of heavenly dwelling. Amen. Amen. Amen.